Hey, I'm Mark Fraser, and this is Bruce the Atlantic.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic's interviews, where we get to know the people behind and in front of the creative industries. We are your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith from Scotland, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists and musicians. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook as Electric Kiwi.
And I'm singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marcy Novelli from Canada, a man who wears many hats, literally and figuratively. When I'm not releasing music under my own name, I'm producing and mixing records for other artists or directing and editing music videos and music documentaries. It's a mouthful. If you like to work together, or hell, if you just want to say hi, get in touch with me on Facebook, Instagram, and or Twitter, which are all my name, Marcio Novelli. Right down here, guys. See that?
That is true.
Yep.
That is true. And we are on Patreon as well, and we've got lots of exciting stuff to share with you on there. You can support us from as little as $1 per month, and in exchange, you get some patron-only exclusives. We've just upgraded some stuff over there, so head on over and check it out.
Perks include early access to content, shoutouts for your band or brand, as well as your chance to co-host the show alongside Ross and I. Most importantly, though, you are helping us to continue to do this crazy thing that we call Bridge the Atlantic. So get on there.
Yeah. We've also got official BTA shirts. So the shirts look great on you.
Thank you, Ross.
Marcio, specifically you.
Thank you.
And all the proceeds go into helping us keep the lights on here at Bridge the Atlantic. There's a link to get them in our show notes. And if you use the coupon code BTARocks, you'll receive 15% off your purchase as our little way of saying thank you.
And it's kind of a lie because we're not really keeping lights on because, I mean, I'm being lit by our friend, the sun, right now, entirely by the sun.
Yes,
we're BFFs. Lastly, though, I'm wrapping up recording my second solo album. I'm so excited. You can pre-order it now at marcionovelli.com/pre-order. Who would have thought? You get a ton of exclusives along with an immediate free download of my acoustic EP, The Reimagining of Volume 1, as an added bonus just for supporting my new album. So make sure to check out my music on Spotify, wherever you like to stream or download music, and definitely support my new album. Get on it.
And with that, let's move on to our guest of the week. So this week we are joined by fellow podcaster, Mark Fraser from Glasgow. Mark is the host of The Curator Podcast, an interview-based show which focuses on creativity and passion. His shows feature guests such as Jim Adkins of Jimmy Eat World, Ian Mackay of Fugazi, Laura Jane Grace of Against Me, Scottish broadcaster Vic Galloway, and singer-songwriter Alison Weiss.
Mark is also a keen musician, currently rocking guitar and vocals in False Hopes. He was also the editor and co-founder of the music website Daily Discord until 2014 and hosted the Daily Discord radio show on Subcity Radio. We're excited to talk podcasting, creativity, and more with the curator himself. So let's jump right in. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Do you have my CV, Marcio? Because that sounds suspiciously like what I wrote on my CV.
We could not possibly comment.
I have no idea what you're talking about. No
a
idea.
CV is a resume.
Is that what it's called? Okay.
Let's get awkward right off the bat. Tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
I have a very small collection of books behind me right there. So that's one thing, I guess. I love Prince. I'm a huge Prince fan. Last year, I wrote a novel in a month, so that's a thing.
That is a thing. Is the novel about Prince, and is it on that bookshelf behind you?
Neither of those things are accurate, I'm afraid. Sorry.
Oh, damn.
That would have tied it all in.
That would have been
the
perfectly packaged three things about yourself everyone should know.
Yeah, it would have been circular. I didn't think that far ahead, though, man. Otherwise,
otherwise, you would have made it happen.
Yeah.
Damn. One of the things we do love about doing this show is that we get to know more about our guests, both professionally and on a more personal level. As a fellow podcaster, what are your views on the importance of interviews, both as podcasts and blogs, for artists and creative people? And how do you think that creative people can make the most of an interview?
I think the best, to answer the first question, I think interviews are really important, particularly a podcast or any kind of broadcast interview. I think I find them personally more important than blogs and stuff like that, because it means that you kind of get an authentic feel to what they're saying, and it can't be edited down and just cut up and, you know, made to say things other than, you know, I guess what they actually say. And the importance of that is huge, you know, because in this day and age when we've got social media and stuff like that, we like to get to know our artists kind of intimately and personally. And when you talk to somebody, or when you read an interview by somebody, or you hear a podcast by somebody, you kind of feel as though you kind of, you've got to know that person a little bit better in a way which is unprecedented, I think, in journalism ever, really. And the second question, how would creative people kind of approach interviews? Is that kind of...
Yeah, so like how can, like if you are a creative person that's been asked to come on a podcast, for example, what can you do to really kind of get the biggest benefit from being on that show?
I think just be yourself, be genuine. People can tell when you're trying to put on a front, or if you're not paying attention. I think being interviewed is really difficult, as I'm finding right now. I think it's really, really difficult. And a lot of younger bands that I have found, from my experience, like, they don't really know how to be interviewed, which sounds like such a weird thing to say, right? Like, what can be easier than answering questions that someone's giving you? But I think it's a lot harder than people think. So do your research, I think, before you do it. Listen to people that you love, that read interviews by people that you admire. But more than that, maybe even practice a little bit with your friends, you know, if you've never done one before, or you're kind of new to it, because you want to put across not just who you are, but your message. And your message as a creative person is obviously why you do the whole thing. And if you don't know how to be interviewed properly, then that message ends up getting lost, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm someone on both sides of it, right? Obviously, I do the show, but as a musician, I get interviewed when I have new music out and all that kind of stuff. And there's definitely, I think this show has made me a better interviewee as well. Because there's a give and take, you know what I mean? You have to let the, if they know what they're doing as an interviewer, they should be able to, you know, guide you and make you feel comfortable. But also sometimes as an interviewee, if there's something that you want to talk about, I mentioned this person in more episodes than any other person, but I think Jared Leto, shut up, Ross. I think Jared Leto, he always knows how to guide an interview. It's always funny. I watched an interview with him just last week, and you know, the interviewers, they were for a professional network and everything, and they were awful. They were just going on about his looks and everything, which is so unprofessional, I think. And also, you know, he's like, okay, and he took that, and within five or 10 seconds, he was like, yeah, but you know, he started talking about the new single they have out and the new album, all that kind of stuff, and he just directed it, you know. So, you know, I've taken that before, you know, if an interviewer is just taking too long to get to the point, or they're focusing on something that it's not really what I want to focus on. That's not why I'm doing the interview. I want to focus on something else. You just take that very, very graciously, and then you learn how to, you guide it. You know what I mean? And it's, I guess, like, there is a give and take. I think there is the idea that the interviewer is in charge, but really, it, you know, we do this show every week, and a lot of it depends on the guests and how much they are willing to give us. And, you know, when they're open and genuine, it makes our job very easy. You know what I mean? We just have to have a conversation. We can really just genuinely have a conversation with them, which is what this should be about, right?
I agree. The push and pull is definitely the best way of putting it, because it is like, well, the give and take that you said, but it is like a push and pull, because the power, obviously, I think the power does lie in the interviewer's hand to a certain extent, but an interviewer should be good at reading a human being and knowing that if the questions that they're asking aren't stimulating the person they're talking to, you know? And on the other side of that, like, an interviewer can lose their patience or lose their interest really quickly if the person you're talking to doesn't really seem to know what they're talking about or have much interest in talking back to you too. So yeah, it's definitely give and take. It's totally push and pull. And I think you're right as well, Marcel. When you get interviewed people, you get to see the human aspect of that engagement, that interaction, that conversation. And that's ultimately why we do it, isn't it? That's why we interview people, is because we want to connect and we want to show other human beings that, look, that's a person that you like. So that's just, which is why you're listening to this interview. And we want you to see that they're a human being, not just like the artist or the sort of mystique, you know?
You know what, but I do want to ask, you know, what have been some of the most important or eye-opening things you've learned, you know, and both as an interviewer, and actually through just day-to-day running of a podcast, as we know, which can be crazy.
One of the most eye-opening things I've learned is people don't really care about me. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's like, I listen to a lot of podcasts by people who are kind of at my level, and they do the whole Mark Maron, like, 10-minute monologue. And I used to do something like that as well. And I binned it because I was like, people don't care, you know? So you need to realize that people are listening. If you're on a small basis, people aren't really listening for your personality. They're listening for the person that you are interviewing. Some of them will eventually come to like the way you work and the way that you are. But don't presume that your take is unique, and you're taking an interviewing person is unique until the people that you interview start saying to you, look, that was one of the better interviews I've done. I really appreciated the way you asked me those questions. So that comes back to being humble as well. I think a lot of people go into it thinking riches and, you know, fame, but you're in the wrong game. Doing this is not how it works, you know what I mean? But that's another thing I've really learned about running the Curator as well, was like, God, content is hard. Like, keeping the content mill rolling is super difficult. I mean, I'm in season 2 now, and I deliberately split it into two seasons, because I was getting burned out by interviewing people every week and trying to rustle together content and try to pull stuff in, and because I like to do like sort of face-to-face interviews, that takes on a totally different kind of vibe when I'm needing to try and find somebody who's coming through Glasgow and sitting them down going, look, let's have an interview. A good example of that is, and during the summer, like right now, like there's so little gigs in this city that I'm finding it really hard now even to do 2 weeks interview every 2 weeks, because it's really, really difficult to get content. So you need to try and fill it up in other ways, which is why you have a content marketing strategy, which I guess people don't really think about when they start off this kind of thing. But that's what makes keeping yourself front and center, even if you're not creating content. If you're curating content, that keeps you present in people's minds. And that's ultimately the most important thing. Not the content you create, but the way you present everything. The content you create, the content that you share and like, and all of that, when it comes together, I've learned that is kind of synergy. Bringing it all together like that is kind of what makes a brand work, not just this one thing that you do every couple of weeks and nothing else, you know what I mean?
And I know that, Mark, you and I have spoken a little bit about this kind of ourselves, but what are some of the challenges that you've experienced when dealing with artists, managers, or maybe more specifically, publicists, when you've been trying to set up interviews? And how do you think that podcasters and any other industry professionals can maybe work together a bit more effectively on that front?
Publicists are the gatekeepers, aren't they? And I admire the job they do, because some of them work really, really hard and they're really super amazing at their job. But I think one of the things you might be talking about, Ross, that we've discussed in the past before, is that some publicists will automatically demand to see download figures or that kind of thing. And I don't mind telling people what mine are, but see if that's a prerequisite for talking to that artist. I don't care how much I love that artist. Like, you're putting me in the wrong foot straight away. There's better ways to ask for it. There's better ways to get that information. But if you're asking right at the gate, if I email you for an interview and go, yeah, can I interview this person? Like, oh yeah, I think we might be able to do that. Like, what kind of downloads do you get? I'm kind of going to go, nah, you're all right. Like, I'm sorry, but I don't play the game that way. I'll tell you if you want, but you could have asked me that in a different way. You know, you could have like tried to set something up first. You know what I mean? Another thing which I find, which is probably quite unique to the kind of podcast I do, is like, it's really difficult to get publicists to communicate to the managers on the ground that I need a quiet space, that I need somewhere which is not going to have a band sound checking like right next door, you know. Better communication from that point of view would also be really, really helpful. And the couple that have actually asked me that straight away, it's like, whereabouts, what kind of requirements do you need to do the interview? Straight away I'm like, you're a star, yes, let's work together more, because you're thinking about your artists, you're thinking about, you know, the press, and you're also making it happen in a really nice way. You know, those people are legends. There's not enough of them.
We've had a few great publicists on the show as guests, and they're wonderful. But we have had run-ins with some publicists that do ask for figures. It's not too many. We haven't had too many, but yeah, we are not interested in working with people like that because you're coming in it for the wrong reasons. Like, especially on an independent level, should we ask you what your record sales are? You know, because obviously that's public when it's much bigger, but you know, we don't really know what people's record sales are when, and if they're under 50,000 or something like that, you know what I mean? And how insulting would that be if we did that? Yeah, we want to get you on the show, but first tell us your figures first. It's like, that's not what it's about. We find you interesting. Do you want to come talk to us? Mark, you ready for 20 questions?
Born ready.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter.
Indie or major?
Indie.
CD or vinyl?
Vinyl.
I think I know the answer to this one. Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Of course. Education or experience?
Oh God, education.
James Cameron or Ridley Scott?
James Cameron.
Prince or Stevie Wonder?
Prince.
There is no question there. Talent or attitude?
Talent.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Alien or Predator?
Alien.
The Wire or The Sopranos?
I just finished watching The Wire, so it's definitely The Wire.
Batman or Superman?
Batman.
Ricky Gervais, who I just saw live, he was awesome. Or Ricky Martin?
Who you also just saw live and you thought he was awesome too. I'm kidding, you did not see him live.
Ricky Martin.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson. Controversial.
What's controversial, your answer or Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson generally.
Yeah, pretty much. Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, good choice. Not enough people pick Manson. My boy Manson.
Your boy.
Awesome, right?
Yeah.
Whale or kale?
Kale.
You're a bit of an enigma. You picked meat, but you also picked kale. Huh.
What does this mean?
What does this mean? I'm so confused. Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Riddler.
And your final question, you know what's coming. God. You know. Ross or Marcio?
Rossio.
And that was the correct answer. That is the correct answer.
That's the correct answer. That is the right and only correct answer. Mark, for artists who are looking to be interviewed on a podcast as awesome as ours, I mean yours, what can they do to make themselves a podcast as podcast ready as possible?
Pay attention to other people and how they talk. Because you're going to want to read the person that you're talking to ensure that you're on the same level. And verbal cues don't often do that. That's a really vague answer, but I don't know if I can be more specific with it. Just give them all your attention, basically. Like give them every single second of when you're in that. Respect that person, be in the room with that person, put your phone away, you know what I mean? I mean, if you're waiting for a tour manager or something to come in and tell you go sound check, that's cool, but, you know, get distractions out of the way, because that will lead to not only a great interview, but you'll come out looking or sounding, or looking and sounding really, really good. And the interviewer will go away thinking, I want to talk to that person again.
You never know who's going to hear or see something too. Like, I'm not going to mention the person that I'm going to talk about here, but Ross and I were just discussing an interview that Ross had heard recently with someone that we both admire, and as a creative. But the interview was so bad. Like, this person came off so bad. Maybe Ross, you can maybe shine better light on this. You're the one that listened to it.
Yeah, I mean, it was just the vibe seemed off. So basically, when I was listening to the interview, I was really excited because I liked the guest. And the host was doing a great job, like trying to really kind of make him feel welcome and get some information. But the guy, he was eating partway through and he just didn't seem very engaged with anything that was happening.
Like, it's like too he didn't cool want to be there, basically? Like too cool?
It was sort of just like the vibe I got was a bit, doing this interview? I don't really want to do it, but I'm on a press tour. So here I am doing this interview.
Oh, your life must be so difficult.
Yeah, so I just didn't like that.
It turned
so,
you
I
off, mean, eh?
Yeah, and that ties into what Mark's saying about, yeah, you know, avoiding distractions and just giving that interview all of your attention and being very present in that interview. Because I think you can tell, like, when you're watching or listening to an interview and the person's not that into it, you can totally tell. And it makes everyone look bad, both the guest and the interviewer.
We've all been there. You know, that happens. Like, we've all been in interviews, yeah, where you can tell the person's not into it. And it's like, from the point of view of the interviewer, it's like trying to plug holes in a sinking ship. It's like, I'm trying my goddamn best to make this work, but if the person's having none of it, I have none of it. But they shouldn't have done the interview in the first place. They shouldn't have accepted it in the first place. That's the way that I look at it. It's a privilege for you not to be interviewed, you know, and you all know what it's like on tour, you know what I mean? Like, you've got nothing else to do. It's not difficult to give somebody 30 minutes of your undivided attention. Especially if you spent all day in a van, you know.
Look, Ross and I have been doing this for over 3 years now, okay? And I don't recommend you go to our first few interviews or even our first year of interviews. But if you do, I'm just going to say Ross and I didn't know what the hell we were doing. But we had such fantastic guests. Honestly, I give so much to the guests that we first had on, all of our guests, but especially the first few, because they really gave us the confidence to keep going because we were awful. We didn't know what the hell we were doing. But the guests were just great. They made us feel, you know, I'm just trying to say, it's like going back to the early interview, the push and pull, they helped us along so much that it made us better at what we do. And now I feel like we can, you know, continue kind of doing this. If the guest isn't as comfortable, we can help them out. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Tyler Hilton pops up in my mind as one of our first 20 interviews that we did.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just made it so fun. He made us relaxed. And, you know, it makes all the difference. And you know what? I'm sure he's done so many bigger interviews than ours. But, you know, he didn't treat it like that. You know, he treated it just the same. And, you know, people did see that. Even if it's a handful of people or whoever, it's, you know, people still may have seen that and didn't know who he was. You know what I mean? And that's how he comes off. And even if they do know who he is, it's like, it's how you put yourself out there. So anyways, I can go on and on about this. It doesn't matter if one person's going to see it or a million, you know, be the same, man. Like you said in the beginning, just be yourself, let that come through and don't act like you're better or bigger than anyone.
Sometimes there's nothing you can do about that, but it just,
yeah,
you just need to roll with the punches.
You're just going to have to give me a second though to get off my soapbox here. I just,
yeah, can you just let me know when you're down from there?
Okay.
So, Mark, I would like to ask you, more for people that are looking to start a podcast, is there one actionable piece of advice that you would offer to them? Perhaps something that you wish you knew before you got started that you had to learn the hard way? Because we've all learned a lot of stuff the hard way.
It's going to suck. At the start, it's going to suck. You're going to do your first interview, it's going to feel rubbish. No one's going to listen at the start. They just won't. And the only actual piece of advice I could give with that is keep doing it. Most podcasts don't make it past episode 7 because people expect fans to just arrive. It's like, no, you got to build it, man. It's hard work and it will suck. And and even you get to the stage that we're at and it's still going to keep sucking. Like, they're still going to, you'll look at some weeks and go, oh God, why am I doing this? But then you do stuff like this and it makes you go, you know what? This is actually fucking cool, man. Like, you know, so I would say just prepare to feel pain basically for the podcaster's pain. Few episodes. Yeah, you're gonna have to.
Yeah,
but if you stick in at it, if you stick in at it for yourself, it will be one of the most rewarding things you'll ever do, without question. Just within you know.
Absolutely. And you know what, I think it's important to remember those little milestones, you know, like when you get your first favorite guest. Like, what I mean by that is someone that you admire that you get on the show, you know what I mean? Like, that's a huge milestone. And it's easy to forget that as you get a few more guests of name, I guess, you know, and as that, it's easy to look back and or not look back and just kind of keep thinking about where you're stuck at, I guess, you know. But especially when it comes time to monetize things, we can do a whole interview on that. That's probably the podcaster's most difficult hurdle. Once you've gotten past that 7, 20, 30 episodes or whatever, and then you're like, okay, we're doing something here, but oh, I can't quit my day job yet. You know? So it's like, there's so much to it, but it's like, Ross and I sometimes do have to remind each other. We are lucky that we have each other doing this co-host, but to look back, you know, I don't know if you do this as well, Mark, but just to look back and be like, okay, you know, I am proud of some of the stuff we've done. You know what I mean? So you should be proud of what you've done, Mark, you know, but can't be proud of yourself if you don't get past that.
Yeah. I've I've consulted a few people in Glasgow about podcasting, about starting podcasts, and they've started and stopped quite quickly because they're not ready for the suck.
Mark, we love you, man. I love your attitude. I love your philosophy and everything. And I think everyone tuning in right now, it probably feels the same way. And if you don't, that's too bad. Where's the best place for people to reach out to you online?
TheCuratorPodcast.com. That's where you can find me. Can I plug something? Is there something I can plug here?
Of course you can.
Plug away.
I've just been asked to do some live shows at a festival in Dundee in December. So more information on that coming soon, especially if you like punk rock music and you're in Scotland or Britain. You'll get to see me doing a couple of really cool things. You can also find me on Twitter at The Curator Pod, Facebook, The Curator Podcast. And yeah, iTunes, just put me in there. The Curator Podcast, you'll find me.
And as for us, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, iTunes, and YouTube. Don't forget to visit our website and pick up one of these shirts.
Or two or three
Not
or five.
Not this exact one, but, you know, these shirts.
Yeah, Ross always wears the shirts for like a couple weeks nonstop without washing before he sends them out.
Not true.
So if you're into that kind of thing. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm currently finishing up my second full-length solo album. You can pre-order it at marcianovelli.com/pre-order. When you support my new album, you get a free download of my new acoustic EP, all that kind of crazy stuff. It's all fun and cozy. I don't even know that, why I said that word. You can find my music on Spotify, iTunes, everywhere and anywhere that you like to stream and download music. Listen, love, and spread the wonderfulness. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, which are all my name, Marciano Velli.
I am working on websites for various artists at the moment, and you can check out my work at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and Facebook is Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by 30 Roses, a virtual assistant and consultant to musicians and other creatives, as well as Music Entrepreneur HQ and Social Surge. All links are in the show notes, so please check them out because they do what, Ross?
They keep the show alive.
Oh, yeah.
And if you would like to sponsor the show, visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic. We've recently updated our rewards, which now includes sponsorship at the start of our interviews, as well as an opportunity for you to co-host an episode, which is a very exciting and terrifying thought for all involved. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube and iTunes so you don't miss any episodes, and leave us a comment and let us know what you think of the show. So, Mark, thanks so much for joining us today. It is great to chat with you. Full disclosure, we did do this interview once before, mm-hmm. and technology happened. Mm-hmm. But now we finally managed to make it happen. I'm really glad that we did. And yeah, hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Yeah, hopefully. And I love the swag. I'll need to get me some of that.
Yeah, you do. You know where to find it, bridge-the-atlantic.com/shop. Just saying.
See you soon, Mark.
See you later.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.